Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yes, he's been given dogs by the Japanese. Everyone, to seem to appease him, gives him puppies. So okay. There you go.
Love fantastic. It.
Did he have a shirt on accepting the puppy?
No, of course not. No, and he was bending a frying pan. Yes. See, here's a picture of him playing with a couple of his dogs. That's his
adorable.
Dog Buffy and
Donald.
Yumi.
His yes. Buffy, is that Russian?
And yes, I believe it is Russian for Buffy. And that's just him playing in his backyard. Isn't that lovely?
It's great radio. We wish everybody could see it. It's fabulous on radio. We're going to get out of here.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
I'm depressed. Everybody in here is depressed. We have a good crowd at Chatter this morning for breakfast.
Thank you.
At the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer
drinking.
Streets
a lot
Northwest.
Of sorrow drowning.
They've been up
right
all night.
Inside the line, capital of the United States of America. Sadly for us, we don't have at least 5, 6, 7 more games to draw
yeah,
a crowd.
Would have been good for business.
Because the Nats are out. Gary Braun is here. Gene McManus is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel's running the board. Barry Zwerluga will be with us later. Michael Wilbon joins us now. I'm not going to lie. I was done when Scherzer was in. I mean, what happened to Scherzer, sleep overcame me. So I missed a lot of stuff after that and woke up this morning with a bad feeling. The Nats have lost a game. And who do you want to blame Gio because he was terrible? Do you want to blame Scherzer because he got hit? Do you want to blame Weeders because you don't even know what in God's name he was doing?
You're leaving someone out.
Do you want to blame Lobatone because he got caught off first base?
Archaic
do you want to blame
rules of the baseball.
Worth on defense? You want to blame Dusty Baker, who I wouldn't think is going to be back?
Blame Obama.
You can blame a lot of people on this, and you can give credit to the Cubs. This was the best of all the first-round series. Every game was tense. Every game was taut. You never think that if you're the Nats, you're finally going to hit, you're going to leave 100,000 people on base, except Lobatone, who you don't leave on base because he gets thrown out at first base. That catcher's good. Contreras is really good. Wilbon, you got the other side of this because your team won, and you were thinking yesterday afternoon there's no chance they were going to win. A bizarre game that puts the Nats in Caps land. This is 4 times in 6 years.
Yeah.
They're not chokes. They're not chokes like the Caps. But it's 4 times in 6 years that they go out in the first round with a chance to win. As a Cubs fan, what do you think,
Tony? There's no thinking yet. And who of your posse there actually watched it?
Everybody did. Jeannie did. Gary
okay.
did, Michael
Tony,
did, Nigel did.
You saw my text this morning.
Yes.
And you have to understand, in real time, you have to understand. And Kirchin said this great at about 1:30 a.m. He said, this is the stupidest game that's ever been played.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Tony, you can't even, you can't get to, like, sort of the post-mortem yet or the, you're going to have to watch this game. Before we do PTI today, somebody's going to have to play for you in sequence. Running through it without the between pitches, you're gonna have to. You can't even understand any of it.
If you start now, maybe you'll be done by the time PTI starts.
Because
that was the other thing. It was about 8 hours long.
I watched it over. I just sat there and watched literally Major League Baseball Network, MLB Network. I watched whatever is rebranded now, NBC Sports Chicago, Comcast, and I watched ESPN, Kirchin, which was basically just Kirchin.
Yeah.
I watched all three of those things until 3 o'clock this morning, and basically it is to try and I've been watching baseball all my life, like Kirchin, with the same age, and there's nothing in our lives that comes close to last night for a postseason bizarreness. And I mean the Cubs had 2 runs, Tony, that shouldn't even have counted if you take the rule book literally. And I don't even so the interpretation of it still has to. Play
this is
in.
this is the Weeders stuff, right?
Well, that's one of them.
Yeah,
the double play.
Yeah.
You know, these days the neighborhood play should. Who was sliding? Was it Baez? I don't even remember. No, John Jay. Should John Jay have been called out at second base for leg whipping? Was it Wilson?
Murphy?
Daniel Murphy.
Murphy. I guess.
It was Murphy.
Yeah, it was Murphy.
So that run, a run scored on that. Double play for the Cubs.
That one was arguable. The interference.
Bryant beat it out. Clearly beat it out. But if they call the neighborhood play, and they could have, but they also could not have, they didn't, then that run doesn't count. Then you get the whole pass ball thing with Javi Baez and the bat making contact with
yes.
the face mask.
Yes.
If that is called differently, that doesn't count. And obviously, on the pickoff play, the Nationals lose a potential run because they got a guy at third base. And that doesn't even deal with your boy, Max Scherzer, listen, you know me, Tony. I don't like any of these situations where people put starters in on a minute and a half rest. I understand it's worked. It worked last year against the Cubs, actually, with Clayton Kershaw coming in relief in game seven. I get that it's worked a few times. To me, it far more often doesn't work. But the whole thing, the game itself, it's not possible that the Nationals lost that game. It isn't possible. No. And I'm sitting there, at one point, I say to somebody, nobody in particular, everybody in my house went to bed, I just said, the Cubs don't even deserve to win this game. And I was texting with Eddie Cornwell, and he just said, no, you do deserve to win. He listed the reasons why he thought the Cubs outlasted them and were better on this particular night, and the difference between a championship team and a team that loses in the first round in these unbelievably tragicomic ways. You have to see it, Tony, because reading it or hearing about it are not going to do. You have to see the sequence of plays because they can't all happen in one night against one team. No team.
And Wilbon's Twitter feed, I was going to say, it was just last night. It was funny because I'm sitting home waiting for the Nats to lose, as you know, any Washington fan feels inevitably they're going to do. But seeing your tweets was like you were home waiting for the same thing for the Cubs.
Yes,
it was like someone asked someone. And it was so crazy. By the point when that Lobatone play happens and it goes to review, my initial thought was, of course. I mean, like, of course that play is going to happen at this point in that game. It was the craziest game.
So, go ahead, Jeannie.
Wilbon, when would Madden have yanked Gio?
Gio was terrible.
Might not have started him.
He was terrible.
Hey, listen, but Dusty made one change, that I found objectionable. And that's philosophic. Because I know there are plenty of people. Tony was thrilled when Gio went in. That was our last communique last night. He was thrilled when Scherzer went in.
Yes.
Right.
So you've got...
Although, to be fair, I would have left Albers in one more inning.
Yeah.
I would not have pinch hit for him that early in the...
But okay, so you've got basically... But the primary question is, how long for Gio, yes or no at all for Scherzer? That's Dusty's primary thing. And they're leading the game at that point, remember.
Right.
They're
4-1. I expected Scherzer. Honestly, before the game, if you said, when would you use Scherzer, and I expected this in the ninth. To close. But Madden went to Wade Davis for the longest stint of his career.
Madden did things. You know I love Joe Madden, Tony. Joe Madden made moves last night that, I swear to God, they were like the moves of a little league manager. the kind of things that you would associate with a little league game. Okay, so Wade Davis, who has not had a 7-out save, he had no saves this year, and he had 32 and 33 attempts or whatever it was. He had never had a save longer than 3 outs. Three.
He asked him to get 7.
Yeah.
I got him.
Wait. Not only did he ask him to get 7, he had no one else warm up the rest of the game. So you got John Lackey out there, a starter who won double-digit games this year for you, a guy who's won World Series in Boston and St. Louis. Lackey doesn't even get out of his chair. And he puts a guy out to get 7 outs, and it keeps you in the bullpen. I know you guys saw this. When they showed the Cubs bullpen,
scary shot. Yes,
there's no one there. Like it's a funny, like it's a comedy, right. a comedic horror movie. There's no one in the bullpen. Like the bullpen members have all been kidnapped. and so you're talking about Dusty, and this is the second year in a row that Madden has gotten away with this. Yeah. When he goes to last year, it was Aroldis Chapman, and just says, just stay out there for a while. Give me 2-3-4 innings, and we'll get through it.
So what?
And
so
Wade Davis, and you're like, oh my God!
You've gone through this. You've gone through this with the Cubs your whole life.
My whole life.
So now with the Nats, it's 2012. This is recent. 12, 14, 16,
That's
17.
Nothing. You could just be warming up your throat for chokes, big boy.
Well, no, I don't even. What I'm saying is, I'm confident that the Washington Capitals choke.
Right.
I don't know if these are chokes by the Nats. That's what I don't know. What do you think?
They become chokes.
They're underperformances.
On a big stage last night.
This is an underperformance.
They messed up. Big stage.
Big stage. They made fielding errors. They made throwing errors. They made base running.
Judgment errors.
The Cubs were trying for four games. The Cubs tried to give the Nats a series by having bad fielding. And last night, the Nats had catastrophic errors, right?
They had one catastrophic error.
Which?
Because it cost a run. That wasn't even an error, technically.
What?
You're thinking of the Worth thing.
What about losing the ball?
Worth, Jason.
Well, also pass ball.
Yeah, but
what about Wieters?
But not technically.
Well, Tony, pass balls are part of every game.
What about Lobaton?
Well, I mean, Lobaton was an error in judgment.
It was an error in judgment,
Ricky.
What about
the catcher interference?
Oh, God.
Interference. Tony, there's stuff in this.
It's crazy.
How about when Dusty kept, I could not wait to watch these press conferences live, which I did. I watched Madden and Dusty live. And what did Dusty call it? Not a series of errors, a series of failures.
Yes.
And I'm watching it, and you're like, Dusty had to be in some, first of all, how about Dusty being private with the Cubs and the Nats?
Yeah, well, yeah. Dusty's going to be looking for work.
Franchises. At one point last night, the Nationals are behind. They're still behind. It's 9-7, and I guess it's in the eighth inning. And I said to somebody on the phone, I just said, you know what? There's no way the Nationals cannot win this game because it comes to it. They don't have anybody warming up. They have no pitcher. They can't get anybody out. Whoever's in there. And I said, you know what? I'll be happy for Dusty. I really will. The Cubs, in my mind now, don't deserve to win this game. The Nationals do. And I'll be happy for Dusty, because I know Dusty a little bit, and I know what Dusty's been through with these franchises. And these look, the Cubs' failure basically was from 1969. Forget the first 70 years. the failures of modern time that people can recognize and put faces on who are alive now were from 1969 through 2003. Okay, and even you can go through 2008. That was talk about the Nats and a 5-year run. Are you kidding me?
They got to do it till your beach house is underwater.
I mean,
then you got Cubs. Cubs
40 years. Most of us had 40 years of it, and Dusty was the face of the end of it. And now for Dusty to be attached to this man, it's just cruel. And I found myself. I was completely resigned, and I was going to be like, okay, you know what? I'm good with the Nats winning because I would have been rooting for the Nats otherwise anyway. I was at the Dodgers game last year. I was at the Giants game a couple of years ago. I sat through those games. I couldn't even go to last night's game. I landed from New York. I have a press pass. I have a pass and a seat. And I just said, you know what? I can't take it. I'm not going.
Right,
I said, I'll go. And I'm glad I didn't go because you can't understand that game in person. You need to see everything several times and hear it from Ron Darling. You do.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point.
Unreal.
I'll see you later.
All right.
Bye, Wilbon.
Michael Wilbon.
By the way, on Scherzer, I just want to point out, I don't know if Gene may have seen this, Ray Knight after the game was tremendous on this. With two outs and Contreras up, and I think it maybe even was a 1-2 count on Contreras, he was really, really hard on Nats coaching, saying Trey Turner was completely out of position, not blaming Trey. But saying a guy who had Max was throwing 98 miles an hour. I mean, he was bringing
heat.
He got
two outs and eight pitches.
Dude hit two into the Nats dugout, basically. He had shown no ability to get around on Max's pitching.
So play
and they
shade
had Turner
your shortstop
way
to
too
base.
Far in the hole and had him out of position. And as you know, he got his glove on the ball but
That's
couldn't
right.
get a throw. And that who knows what might have happened.
Dusty Baker has now lost 10 consecutive clinching games. Coincidence? Because I think he'll probably be released.
Well, I know Wilbon's hard on Madden, but I like Dusty Baker, but I thought all of the pitching decisions were wrong. I don't understand why Tanner Roark, for example, did not
totally
come in
agree.
To pitch middle relief.
I would have gone first to Roark, but Albers was, and I don't like Albers. Albers was fine. You I don't see how you go to Scherzer in the fifth.
Why did he?
How
bring
much do you early? Want him to pitch? Because if you go to Scherzer in the fifth, what you're saying is I'm totally comfortable with Madsen and Kintzler.
Well, how about going to Solis at all?
And yeah, I mean, Solis should have been there.
That was a paper decision because you think you get your 7th, 8th, 9th inning guy. So it was someone who has no touch of the game, which makes sense because he kept Gio in the third instead of going to the guy who was ready for game four, who would give us the best chance to win.
Roark, I want Scherzer closing the game.
He brings in Albers to pitch to the bottom of the Cubs' order.
Right.
To pitch to their pitcher.
What did you think?
I think you let him go. I don't think you pay him. Listen, I could win 90 games with that team by just getting out of the way. You don't pay him to win 95, 97, whatever, win that division, which they're going to win.
But I don't want to just blame him. There was a failure on the part of players.
I'm not just blaming him. But when you are 0-10 in closeout games, that is when managing matters the most. That is showing an inability to do something.
Okay, but as Wilbon points out, you're saying that it looked like the shot of the Cubs bullpen indicated that they had all gone home already.
Well, hey,
Wade Davis had never pitched.
I advocate for losing with my best guy out there, and he did that to some extent with Scherzer. But did you see how Madden handled Carl Edwards Jr.? Have a shot, kid. Okay, it's not working out. Get out.
4 balls, bye.
Dusty's an ambassador for baseball at this point. He is not your manager. If you look at what he does in the offseason, in spring training, he is a great supporter and, you know, he's great at coaching up these young guys, being there for you. But in these situations, he does not look like he's in touch with the game anymore. You look at the decision to put Jason Worth. We want to stick with our guy. He gives us the best chance of winning.
Got a couple of hits.
Okay, yeah. What did he do in the late innings of the game? What's the takeaway that you have? The last image of him in the field.
He missed the ball that led to a run, and he struck out.
Sliding through left field, waving goodbye to the fans as he goes away.
Yeah. How do you feel?
I feel terrible. I actually feel like this is just a repeat of last year's show, except last year I was at the game, and I walked in, and I challenged you guys in here saying, you know what, this is actually a good series. I feel okay, or at least I accept this loss for what it is, a learning moment. After last night's game, I feel terrible. And the one takeaway I had, and this is about watching sports and being a young father, was the only good thing that happened in the series is that I got to watch a playoff series with my son for the first time, which was amazing.
That's cool.
And I look forward to that for the next 10, 15, 20 years, even if they lose in 5.
What did he think of the Lobatone play?
He was sleeping, and but his arms were sort of whipping behind his head wildly at that point.
I just love.
He would have gotten in safe.
Michael's still young enough to care. Like I can still remember when I was like that because I watched Bryce Harper strike out the bottom of the ninth, and I was like, it seems about right. I'm going to bed. Bryce Harper.
I mean, we'll get out of here on this, but Bryce Harper wasn't healthy. Now he's not 100% healthy. Right. He didn't have enough reps. He couldn't carry the team. If this had happened in June, he could have carried the team. He couldn't do
it. He was healthy enough to iron his hair for every game.
He was not on that list of people who you said, who do you want to blame? I mean, he's not one anyone could blame.
All right, we'll get out of here, and we will come back with Barry's Verluga. Let's go right to Barry, who covered the game. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Tim Wildsmith. It's got an obvious Bruce Springsteen beginning. You can hear it. Here's a song called Everything Is Not Okay from my 2010 album, Little Armor. The title of the song is in reference to a romantic relationship I was in at the time, not the way Dusty Baker currently manages the Nationals. As a loyal Little, the only thing I was more proud of than this album back in the spring of 2010 was the fact that you read one of my emails on the air. I still tell friends and strangers about the enthusiastic way you pronounced my last name, Wildsmith. Thanks to you and the crew for the many years of laughs. I actually love and absolutely love this podcast. Please tell your listeners I submitted this song via jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com. Michael, are we selling anything today? He adds.
It sounds a little Neil Young to me.
Yes, but the beginning with the harmonica.
Yeah, that's Neil Young too.
Barry's Verluga, who probably hasn't slept, joins us now, and we've done the open. We've had Wilbon on. We've blamed everybody in sight.
We don't feel any better, oddly.
What now? Where do we go from here with this team? I mean, I would assume that question number one is the fate of Dusty Baker. It can't be good, right?
Well, I mean, that definitely is question number one. And here's the problem when you're... The problem seemed to be the Nationals' problem that they hadn't signed him to an extension all year because the price of poker was going up, right? He has managed two seasons here. He won two division titles pretty easily. He is well regarded in the clubhouse. The fan base likes him.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The problem now, this morning, is Dusty Baker's problem, because it's not crazy to think that in a full scale evaluation of the franchise, that a determination could be made that they have a great manager for 162 games and a lousy manager for 5 games, and this franchise is in the point of its development where, of course, you have to get through the 162 to get to the 5, but this they have to win 5, they have to win 7, they have to have an October where you don't wake up the morning after a game and feel like you got kicked in the stomach. So I had been told all along that they wished they had gotten it done earlier, that it will get done, and that it did, this is the important part, that it did not depend on whether he won a playoff series or not.
That's changed now.
Style matters, events matter, everything is a data point, and I think that's, if you're covering this team going forward, that's what you're asking.
Wilbon made the point that going to Wade Davis as early as they did was crazy, and no one else was even warming up in the bullpen. I watched Gio early and just started texting the Sands and everybody else, just get him out of here already. They put in Albers. I watched to Scherzer and honestly thought, this is too early for him. I'd like to see him in the 9th if it comes to that. What did you think?
No, I mean, I think you're all crazy. You're crazy. Wilbon is crazy. Has he watched postseason baseball since, 2000? That is how relievers are used. You put your best pitcher in there, and who's Wilbon going to turn to at that point? I mean, the Cubs, the fact that the Cubs relievers survived this series is remarkable. I mean, think of it this way, if you're a Washington fan, they had 23 base runners, 9 walks and 14 hits, and they managed to lose the game. I thought Gio should have been out earlier.
Yes,
yes,
but I would have gone to Roark.
No. Here's your path to victory before the game. And this is not revisionist history. This is what I was saying before the game. You start Gio, and I get why you start Gio, even though no one in the ballpark has complete faith in Gio. You can't really start Roark when your other option had the only people with better ERAs in the National League were named Kershaw, Strasburg, Scherzer, and Robbie Ray. You have to start Gio. The fact that Gio spit the bit is not surprising
to anyone.
I think the four pitchers that you have to get 27 outs with are Gonzalez, Scherzer, Madsen, and Doolittle. Those were the ones that you, if the night went normally, that's how you piece together 27 outs. I think my hope before the game, if I was thinking of it from a national perspective, was that somehow Gio got four innings, which is 12 outs. He clearly couldn't do that, so I would have gone to Albers earlier. I think that Gio's start could have, even though he only went 3 innings and gave up 3 runs, it could have gone a lot worse. I mean, he walked.
Absolutely. He's totally ineffective. Totally.
Right. So, Tony, when when Scherzer comes into the game, they have a 4-3 lead.
Yes.
It is the fifth inning. The reason that is not too early is because he's not going to just give you an inning. That's not what you're thinking. This guy is going to be a hero. He's going to get 9 outs minimum to me. I think that's how he was thinking of it. I think that's how the Nationals were thinking of it. I think that's how modern baseball playoffs in this situation are played. It's what, Madison Bumgarner, 6 innings out of the bullpen in Game 7 of the World Series. It's Kershaw, I know, at the back end, like you wanted in a closing role.
Yeah.
You don't know that you're going to get to a closing role at that point. Max Scherzer did the very difficult thing in getting Chris Bryant to ground out and Anthony Rizzo to fly out. And I had typed on my screen, because, you're tweeting throughout these games, when he got two strikes on Wilson Contreras, Max Scherzer retires Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, and Wilson Contreras on XX pitches. There will be many more. And that's what it was going to be like, because it was going to be like 12 pitches he retired the side.
That's right.
And then it all, I mean, the degree to which it unraveled is essentially incomprehensible.
I agree with that. I mean, this is Wilbon saying that you have to go back and you have to watch every single pitch because you can't believe all of these things that happen with Wieters, with Lobatone, with Wirth, with all of it, that it makes absolutely no sense. Was there a point in the game in which you said to yourself, they're going to lose this game now? Or did you feel all the way into the ninth inning, no, they're going to win this game. It's their night to win, no matter what.
So I thought that they were going to lose when the following happened. They had, in that Scherzer inning, four consecutive batters that ended with an intentional walk to Jason Hayward, the Javi Baez strikeout that became the pass ball on Wieters, about which there's some controversy because he may have swung through and hit Wieters on the backswing, in which case the play should be a dead ball.
Right.
And anyway, it's not. It's a pass ball. Wieters throws the ball into right field. Runners advance. A run scores. Then a catcher's interference. Then a hit by pitch. The website that any baseball writer and baseball fans could use, too, uses every day is baseballreference.com. They have a database that includes 2.73 million half innings of baseball going back to the beginning of the sport. Those four events, intentional walk, pass ball on a strikeout, catcher's interference, and hit by pitch, have never occurred in the same inning.
Never.
Let alone
right in a row.
Four in a row. So that's how bizarre this is. Now, I will say, even though it got to be 8-4 Cubs, and while I think if you've seen a lot of Washington sports, your kind of mindset is, well, no, they lose. The Cubs bullpen was so bad in that series, and the Nats lineup was coming around to such a degree that winning was not off the table. I mean, this wasn't like that disaster with Scherzer didn't happen in the eighth. It happened in the fifth.
Yeah, so there's a lot of time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, there's a lot of time. But going forward, I mean, they've got a very good team. What do you do? Do you just do this? When I was young, and there were a long, long time ago, and there were three teams in New York, the Yankees won all the time, the Giants won here and there, and the Dodgers never won. The Brooklyn Dodgers never won. And there would be a cartoon at the end of the season every single year with the Brooklyn Dodgers bum guy, the guy who looked like a bum. They were called them bums. And it would say, wait till next year. Every single year. There was not tremendous discouragement. There was like, okay, wait till next year. We're pretty good because they contended all the time. We're pretty good. Wait till next year. Is that what they do?
It's by and large, I think, what they do, in large part because that's, in a way, all they can do. And the wait till next year part of it with this team, it was kind of always set up that 2018 would probably be their best team. It's my belief that this year's version was the best version of, you know, the six teams since they started winning division titles. But when they made the trade for Mattson and Doolittle, part of the great thing about that trade from Washington's perspective was both those guys are under contract for next year. So the back end of your bullpen, you don't go into spring training with the disaster what it was this year. Jason Worth is gone. I think that there's a large segment of Nationals Park last night that thought he should have been gone and are not in the lineup prior to that.
Well, a lot of us, myself included, thought Howie Kendrick was not playing enough in this series.
Right.
Well, I mean, put it this way. I went to the Cubs clubhouse long after, you know, kind of hours after the game, and they were still kind of winding down their celebration and talked to some Cubs officials. And, I mean, just going over the game is you know, in that moment is pretty amazing. Everything's still right there. And they pointed out that one thing that Baker did was use – the same eight position players in all five games.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
Even though going into last night they were hitting 130 as a group. There was no...
Where's Defoe? Where's Lind? Where's Kendrick? Yes, yes.
Right. So and there was a key spot, I thought, when Kendrick should have batted for Wieters. I mean, that game ends with Howie Kendrick not getting in at bat, which is kind of amazing. So anyway, the bench is going to have to be rebuilt because Lind and Kendrick are both free agents. Obviously, you would want one or both of them, particularly Lind, back. The price is going up there, and he's probably going to want more at bats. But you have a situation where it is Bryce Harper's last year under his contract. It is Daniel Murphy's last year before he becomes a free agent. You're probably, realistically, are you going to get the same year out of Ryan Zimmerman? No. Can he be what he's been for most of his career? You know, the number of years that's going to be happening are dwindling. You have what you now know is just a ridiculous front end of the rotation in Strasburg and Scherzer. You still have Gonzalez. You still have Roark. You know, you can find a fifth starter either from within or without. The core of this team is going to be the same group that was on the field. Not just the core. I mean, we're talking about like 20 of 25 spots is going to be about the same. So the big question this morning, I think, is the manager. There are no, like, primary roles, because you could think about Adam Eaton's coming back too, right? So there's not a primary role that you think is completely up for grabs.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with all of that, and it's why I feel badly, and let me apologize to people who listen around the country who are saying, I don't care about the Nats. This is Nats Day when we grieve for the Nats. But I think it's a very good team. I do. I think it's a very good team. I think what Strasburg proved in this series in games 1 and 4 is very, very important. And I think it's a very good team, although it is actually still incomprehensible to me how they lost that game last night, right?
That's the only way to slice it. I mean, even in talking to Cubs people afterwards, they were said that is a good team, and they're very aware of what the narrative will be, is that they haven't gotten over the hump, and the hump just got a little bigger. But people in baseball believe them to be a good team. I mean, it's hard to argue, you know, since 2012, they had the second most wins in baseball behind only the Dodgers, who have spent hundreds of millions of dollars more on their payroll. I you know, because it's incomprehensible, you end up asking questions like, is there something missing? Is there an intangible ingredient that is preventing this? That's the problem with losing this series is not only does the same old, same old, same oldness of it continue and there's no way to advance the story, but you have to examine further why this keeps happening, even if it's inexplicable. So it's just a tough spot for them to be in. And frankly, I mean, you know, trying to come up with new adjectives and verbs and stuff to describe it is not easy either.
Just on the way out, because I said this before and I don't think we talked about it, I know the Washington Capitals are chokers. And that's why I wouldn't have allowed people to wear red to the ballpark, to the Nationals ballpark. But I don't think these are chokes by the Nats. Am I wrong on that? Are they chokes by the Nats?
I think 2012 was a choke by the Nats. I don't think they were ready for the moment. They had the lead. They couldn't somehow cobble together those final three outs. And that's a different group. I mean, the core from that group that remains is only, I think it's five players. I thought 2014 they were the better team. They also ran into the Giants, who went on to win the World Series and had a little bit of... Yeah, well, they beat Bumgarner, actually, but they ran into a team that had a little bit of magic. Last year, I didn't think was a choke at all. Great series. Kershaw versus Murphy in the last moment, and Kershaw beat him. And I don't think that last night was a choke. It's such a weird game and such an outlier that... you know, I also would not say that the Cubs kind of rose up and seized that game
right,
at all.
Right.
I mean, we kind of talked about it you know, afterwards that if you played in that game on July 27th of any season, you would remember it for the rest of your life. Well, guess what happened? That random game from July 27th occurred on October 12th and was a decisive game in the playoffs, and it's just going to go down as one of the weird oddities. Yeah. Not a choke, not a courageous victory, but a strange one for sure.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you. We'll see you in here soon.
Thanks, Tony.
Barry's Verluga, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back. Nigel will do some news. We haven't even discussed news because we've spent an hour and a half on this. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Uplifting show.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. We have a new ad later in the show, but this is the Harry's.
Stay tuned for that one. But for now,
nice tease.
Everybody here has the Harry's razor.
Yes.
David has the Harry's razor. So everybody has the Harry's razor. Everybody's happy with that. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades. They'll give you a trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/Tony K. All you have to do is pay for shipping. You know what we should do? We should get them to send us about 20 of these. And when people come in here, we should be able to give them away.
That's a great idea.
So, I mean, Jeff and Andy... If you're listening, regular guys. They got regular guys here,
too. A couple
of
regular guys.
We got regular people here.
Harry's is all
very
about...
Very regular.
They're, yes.
Sub-regular, many of them.
Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. And the aforementioned Jeff and Andy, who insist on calling themselves two ordinary guys who are fed up with buying overpriced razors, started Harry's to fix shaving. They bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade-making experience to ensure the highest quality. All their products are backed by 100% quality guarantee. They offer their blades at half the price of the leading five-blade razor. They sell directly to you over the internet. To claim your free trial offer from Harry's today, which is a $13 value, and you get it for free when you sign up, all you do is cover shipping, and it includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, five precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover. Do this. It's available to you. To get your free trial set, go to Harry's, HARRYS.com/Tony K right now. That's Harry's.com/Tony K.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Dustin Merkel from the band The Lively Exchange in Atlanta, Georgia. Here's some more free music from the show. Feel free to make money off it as you please. Hopefully it's good enough. We don't make money off the music.
No, we don't.
I mean, we make money sometimes off merchandise, but not the music.
Yes.
Michael, people want to send us music with the caveat that we can make as much money as we want.
How do we make money on this stuff?
I don't know.
Send your music to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
I don't want to keep dwelling on this, although I'm going to keep dwelling on this. The game ended at 12:45 in the morning.
So
4-hour and 37-minute game. The Nats, and much like the Cubs, who could not hit all series, and the pitching had something to do with it on both ends, but the Nats didn't hit at all. Going into last night's game, taking Ryan Zimmerman out of the top six where he is in the batting order, the other five guys, Trey Turner, Jason Worth, Bryce Harper, Daniel Murphy, and Anthony Rendon, were 7-for-74. That's 0.95 as a batting average. Last night, they had 23 base runners. 23 base runners and couldn't win the game. So, did Zimmerman get any hits last night?
I don't think so.
I think he had a bunch of strikeouts.
He left a bunch
night.
Of guys. Yeah.
He's swung hard, though.
0 for 4, 7 left on base.
And what does that remind you of? That reminds you of the days last year when Joe Maddon looked at Ryan Zimmerman and said, I'm walking Harper every chance I got because this guy's not going to hurt me. Now, he had a home run in game two. He had a run batted in game three. Not finding fault with him over the course of the series. Last night didn't help at all. Didn't help at all. Go ahead. You got news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony.
Am I bitter? Because I don't want to sound bitter.
I mean,
We're all bitter.
It stinks.
But I don't think it was a choke. I just think it was
bizarre. I've changed my mind.
Gary
on
and
that.
I have changed my mind.
You do think it's a choke?
Because on the big stage, they looked like clowns. They really did.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a question for you, look, before I...
Boz tried to make it a valiant loss. He did.
Listen to these series batting averages. Trey Turner, 143. Jason Worth, 167. Ryan Zimmerman, 150. Anthony Rendon, 176. Harper and Murphy each hit 211.
Michael Taylor, 330.
Michael Taylor played another one out.
Yeah.
You know, Adam Eaton comes back. Michael Taylor maybe fetches something really good.
Can he play left field?
Probably. Yeah. Or maybe Adam Eaton goes to left field. Yeah. Now, Michael Taylor's a very good fielder, regardless of that ball dropping in on Anthony Rizzo. Yeah.
Did you hear this? Well, you probably went up when they said the stat. He's the first player in Major League Baseball history to have back-to-back games with four runs batted in.
No, in playoffs.
Playoffs, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No one had ever done that.
Playoff history, yes.
That's an interesting stat.
And he bats eighth. And then, by the way, that's a good place for him to bat. It's fine to bat eighth.
Do you guys...
Because you don't want him higher up in the lineup taking called strike threes like he does.
I might put him one ahead of Wieters.
Yeah. But, Believe it or not, there was an NFL game last night. Not sure a lot of people in D.C. watched it.
No, but it was a very attractive matchup.
Yes, Philadelphia in Carolina. Carson Wentz throws three TD passes.
He's good. Yes,
and the Eagles are good. They have five and one.
He throws three touchdown passes. Cam Newton gets intercepted three times.
Yeah. Yes, so the Eagles win 28-23. They're now 5-1, and that is the NFC's best record. And
are they the best team?
In the NFC?
Nobody would say that. Nobody would say that.
No.
You'd look at it at 5-1 and go, they're having a good year, and we think Wentz is very, very promising.
Wentz reminds me of a young Big Ben. Very hard to get down, very sturdy in the
pocket.
Can also move and run.
Throws it down the field.
Well, they're certainly going to win their division. I mean,
yes.
They've got no competition. Yes.
Well,
the
Giants could give them a run for their money.
Washington Redskins.
I don't think they already beat them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, haven't beat them twice.
Have not.
No.
Yeah. So
we'll have the chance.
They might have an easier path because it looks like the Dallas Cowboys will be without running back Ezekiel Elliott. The federal appeals court. Dallas fans in here. A federal appeals court cleared the way yesterday for the NFL to impose that 6-game suspension on Elliott with the domestic violence allegations. It was a 2-1 decision in a 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. I guess the suspension was effective immediately, although the Cowboys are not playing. And Ezekiel Elliott and his attorney, Frank Salzano, said, "We are exploring all of our legal options."
They have no legal options. This is the most predictable thing in the NFL this year because of the Tom Brady decision. Once a federal court ruled that the commissioner has the ability to do this, it was just a matter of time. What a lot of people said early on, which I never believed, was that, oh, he'll play the whole year because the courts won't move on this. Why not? Why wouldn't they? This is so easy. There's no reason not to do it.
Do you know, is there no longer the ability to kick the can at all?
Well,
I don't know that there is.
Maybe there is.
I don't know that there isn't. I'm not saying that there isn't.
Maybe there's one more. I don't know. We should call Roger Cossack. I mean, I'd call Abby, but if I the problem with calling Abby,
bigger fish to fry.
Yes, Abby's got high profile clients, and if I don't ask them about them, I'm going to say, "Well, what'd you do with Abby?" So I got to wait for that to be done.
Right. Staying with football, there's an interesting development with the Raiders Chargers game this Sunday, which is supposed to be played in Oakland.
Yes,
but the fires in Napa has apparently ruined the air quality so much that they are considering moving the game, and one of the places they're considering moving it to is, ironically enough, back down to San Diego. Now, the assistant to the mayor in San Diego, which blew me away, said, "We're always willing to help out other cities in times of trouble, so maybe we can figure something out."
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why don't they play all their games there instead of in a 20,000-seat soccer stadium?
Well, watching them 8 times is really bad for your health. Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't think they
this is from a meteorologist in the Bay Area office, not related to Kip Sheeman, saying we're going to see a really strong settling of the smoke in the Bay Area on Friday and Saturday. Not to mince words, it's going to be really bad. It's not going to be.
They canceled flights yesterday.
Your sister is out there.
Oh, they've been smelling smoke. They live in the city of San Francisco, but they've been smelling the smoke for days from Santa Rosa.
And some of us in this studio may be flying out to San Francisco later this afternoon.
There you go.
Scheduled to.
So in talking yesterday on PTI to Steve Young, I was asking him about this because that's where he lives up there, and he said this is not at all like the fires that you usually get in California. This is going through cities.
Yeah,
this going Santa Rosa is a real city. Mm-hmm. It goes right through the city. This is not out in the periphery. You know, 14 homes that were built in a cul-de-sac.
On a cliff side.
Yes.
Someplace.
No, it's not that. Not that.
Yeah, they say 31 dead, hundreds missing, thousands of homes destroyed. Is the worst event in more than 80 years, and no rain expected for a week.
So you're getting that. You got hurricanes like that, right, already this year. You get floods like that already this year,
fires.
And now you get this.
Yes.
Yeah.
A curious development.
Not to mention man-made disasters that we saw a week and a half ago.
Yes. Roger Goodell's wife apparently was using an anonymous Twitter handle to defend Goodell at various points.
Oh, don't do that.
Is this a Kevin Durant thing?
Similar.
Yeah, so like when there was reporting out, she had this fake account. It was called @forargument. And she would reply under this thing, please do better reporting. He is already doing this.
Well, did she reply under a pseudonym or no name, or did she say who she was?
No.
She did not say who she was.
Did not say who she was. The Wall Street Journal did an investigation trying to find out who it was.
Of course, you don't have to announce who you are
on
Twitter.
There was no picture. It just said @forargument.
Jesse's got an account, for crying out loud.
Yeah, the Leaf Blower has an account.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So the Wall Street Journal did an investigation, found it was her, and she copped to it, and she said, listen, I'm sorry. It was a really silly thing to do and done out of frustration and love. As a former media member, I guess she used to work for Fox.
I don't know who she is.
Jane Skinner Goodell.
Former Fox News host.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm always bothered when the coverage doesn't provide a complete and accurate picture.
So
of the
fake
story.
News? She's charging fake news on Roger Goodell?
Incomplete news, incomplete I think, news. Would be her contention.
Yes. So. Making $35 million a year, you can afford some fake news.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
At least $35 million,
right? Yeah, it makes a lot of money.
The reviews are coming in for Bruce Springsteen. And the reviews, apparently, are very, very good. Does that surprise you?
No. Does it surprise anybody?
Not a bit.
And this, of course, what I talk about. He's on Broadway.
He's sitting in a small theater that seats about 1,000 people. He's got a piano and he's singing, right?
Yes.
He's not.
And telling stories.
Okay, but he's not trying to. He's not doing Death of a Salesman. It's not, right? He's not doing that. It's not Kevin Kline in Dinner Theater doing Death of a Salesman, right? It's not that. Soap Dish.
He had a good dream.
Written by Andy Bergman.
Yeah, the great part of that was in the middle of giving a line, and he's like right next to a table, and she says, "You're doing such a good job, son." So great.
Yeah.
But apparently the reviews say it's
what is that $850 a ticket? Is that what it is?
Well, I think that
sounds about right.
Yeah, but I think if you got them, through other ways, it's probably much more than that.
Maybe SeatGeek it for less.
We're very, very happy that Liz Clark will be able to attend
in November, early November.
And Steve Sands will be there too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. So we're very happy for the boss.
Well, I'm glad the reviews are good.
Yes. Not good times for a friend of the show, someone we like very much, Jack Evans. Representative Jerry Connolly has joined Governor Hogan in urging the ouster of him as the chairman of the board for the Metro.
We stand with Jack Evans on this show.
Yes.
This show supports Jack Evans and does not support the others, whoever the others are.
Is that the official position?
And not only that, we don't even know the issue.
No.
And it could be that Jack Evans is completely wrong. But unless he marches through Charlottesville wearing a Nazi outfit, we're supporting Jack Evans.
Do you recall when we had Jack on years ago from that dicey ad that he had in the paper?
Yes.
For those that don't remember, there was an ad of him at a podium with his right arm up as
looked bad.
Look as if it might have been something from the 1930s in Germany.
Yes.
We talked about it. He called in and said, "We've killed that ad. Thank you so much."
Right.
We love Jack.
Yes.
We love Jack.
We support Jack Evans.
Yes. This was
a close friend of the socialite.
Oh, really?
A close friend of the socialite. Absolutely.
And a key player, not a Mark Tui level of involvement, but a key player in helping us get baseball here in town.
Yes, but Mark Tui is.
We don't hold that against
him.
Baseball.
Right, which we could today. Yeah.
Yes, and this is an interesting story from Arlington. An Arlington woman, this is a couple of days ago, woke up, went into the bathroom, as we all do, to start her day. Open up the shower curtain. What did she see in her bathtub?
Naked meth head.
A snake.
An 8-foot lizard.
A raccoon.
Oh.
Now, in the bathtub?
In the bathtub.
Water on?
Water on.
Bubbles? No bubbles.
Shower cap on. I will show you a picture again for our people on News Channel 8. This is the little guy.
Oh, okay. He looks scared, actually.
Yeah. He's scared. Yeah. Well, he's probably drunk. He doesn't know where he is.
He was out all night.
So she called animal welfare. They came over. They said, luckily, she knew just what to do.
Just what to do? What is that?
You close the door and you call
the expert.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't.
You shriek and get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said, you shelter in place.
Do not negotiate with it under any terms.
Yeah. What they said was they safely removed the raccoon, and they released him outside where he happily scampered off.
Yeah.
Do you believe that, or do you believe that he was taken,
No.
To
I think I think the
I
people
know
who trap him
how he got in. How did he get into
he
the
He knew the code?
Well, yeah, he knew
the code. Hey, guys,
I'm guessing
and that opened the door?
No, there's some work being done in the house, and they think that he got in through the attic. Outside.
Yeah, so he got all the way up?
Yes.
He climbed all the way up?
Or a tree. You can get a tree. I think they're pretty good tree climbers.
Yeah, they are. Raccoons. Yes.
One time, I woke up at about 3 in the morning, and I looked out my window on the second floor of my house, and there was a raccoon clinging to the drain pipe, looking at me. Oh, my God. There's a raccoon.
So what did you
20
do?
20 feet off the ground.
All you could see was the
shriek.
Eyes.
I shrieked and ran out. Raccoons don't mess with raccoons.
Yeah, they don't play.
Well, then there's the famous, when you first moved to town.
There was a raccoon daring me to come near it in a garbage can. Right. Raccoon, a raccoon weighed 85 pounds.
Thumbed his nose at you.
And just looked at me like, what are you going to do? I backed away. I think with raccoon, I think you back away right from raccoons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get big. I thought it was the thing with raccoons. Get big.
Yeah. Sarcasm works a lot with them as well.
Raccoons.
Yes. So that's about it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll come back with what? We'll come back with Old Guy and Chuck Todd.
That's
Chuck
right.
Todd's got to pick games.
Yes.
So we're also in negotiation. Now, Carville cannot pick games this week.
Carville's out of the country.
Carville was 2-2 last week.
Yeah, out of the country.
He's out of the country. We're in negotiations with Jeff Ma. How are those negotiations working?
Oh, it's going well. He'll probably come on with us next week.
So, and we want him to pick every week.
Yes.
Because Jeff Ma, he's like, that's the A squad here, Jeff Ma. So
we'll give him like a fiver for his effort.
We'll see what happens. That's the one that you treated like a towel boy,
yes.
As I recall.
Yes. One of them.
And then found out... that he was brilliant and the subject of the movie 21.
21, that's right.
It's his movie. Henry, it's his book.
Was it Ford, Congressman Ford, you once told to park your car or something too?
I thought he was the maitre d' at the district chop house.
Yeah, okay.
I did.
Another great one. Yeah.
Jeff Ma. Sometimes my keys. You get it wrong. I didn't know. I didn't give him my keys. I thought he was the maitre
d'. There you go, kid. Keep it close.
I didn't think he was
five
parking
in it for you.
Cars. No, I didn't think that. I knew he looked familiar. I just didn't know what it was. All right, we'll take a break. And we will come back with Old Guy Radio and
yeah, special birthday today as well. We're very happy for this. For Old Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, this is a new read. This is for Bombfell.
So excited.
I have to spell it out twice. B-O-M-B-F-E-L-L. B-O-M-B-F-E-L-L. Michael, explain what Bombfell is.
I'll explain as simply as I can for you, because I know you had some confusion with this.
Yes.
This is a personal shopper. So this is an online service. You will fill out a form, and they are going to curate clothing packages that you can try on. You have a 7-day grace period to choose if you want anything from the box, and you're working with a stylist. So the more that you use this service, the more that they're going to understand your style and what you would like to receive in the future.
So have these clothes been sent to me?
Yes, they have sent you a box.
How yet come I don't have them?
So all of these get sent to my address because I'm in charge of this. And
right.
I will be honest, with the recent baseball experience, I was a little lost in giving you this product. So
okay, so I'd like to see it because I'm sure it's going to be wonderful and I want to see it. Right? That's what I want to do. Let's read this. It's an easier way for men to get better clothes. You complete a simple questionnaire, and you're then matched one-to-one with a dedicated personal stylist. They never charge above retail price. They offer free shipping and returns, convenient home try-on, and the ability to preview and edit your stylist's picks before your order ships. Having a stylist is pretty cool. We should emphasize a point about shopping, and they write, "Hey, guys, do you hate going shopping for clothes but still want to look good? Bombfell is an easier way for men to get better clothes. Fully personalized, every piece has been handpicked for you by your own stylist. Your stylist will email you his or her selections, after which you'll have 48 hours to make any changes or even cancel altogether. You're in total control. Then when you receive the clothes, you have 7 days to tell us what you want to keep. You send the rest back. It's completely flexible. You can receive clothes when you want and can pause or cancel at any time. And what you do is you sign up and you talk about yourself, your measurements, your style preferences. You set budget limits. You tell us what you want to order, like 2 button-downs and a pair of jeans. You schedule when you want it, or you let Bombfell surprise you. Your stylist will put together your clothing picks and send you a preview email. Cancel or change anything you don't like. They ship after 48 hours otherwise. You have 7 days to try on after your shipment is delivered before we charge your card. I guess that's a credit card, I guess. Pay for what you keep and return the rest, and shipping is free both ways. They don't want us to call it a box. They think that a box is like, you know, it's not as good.
It's not specialized.
So we won't call it that.
Yeah, don't call it
We'll call it...
Send me a shipment of that.
Because it's really, it's the service that you're getting here.
So in this questionnaire, there's 3 images of body types. And filling that out for you was an experience I've never had before.
Really?
Yeah.
Was angst ridden an option?
There's a round shape. There's sort of a swimmer's big shoulder shape.
I don't have that.
And then there's just sort of generic looking straight. I gave you the straight stick figure.
You get $25 off your first purchase.
Nice.
If you visit bombfell.com/Tony, BOMBFELL.com. And that's what you do. Bombfell.com/Tony, and you get all this stuff. Now, I don't know. This was supposed to be a one-minute ad. It was about 6 minutes because it's two pages, and they gave me a lot of things to read.
Right.
So I don't know if I read the right stuff or read too much or too little or whatever. But I'm trying
to figure
out.
We'll get feedback and have them dial
in. How I say, send me a big blank of that.
Could they send me like some black pants and a black sweater?
Yes, send Jeannie. Send Jeannie black pants and a black sweater.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is one of my favorite songs. This is Boy in the Bubble. This is Paul Simon for Old Guy Radio. And why are we playing this? Paul Simon is 76 years old today.
Did he ever do a lot?
He had a couple of hits. He had a duo with a blonde guy.
Right.
I think they were called Jan and Dean at one point.
That's it, yes.
I don't really remember.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. I think they were pretty good.
It's sad I still think this album, this is off of Graceland.
Brilliant.
And I still feel like this is like really a recent album.
It's 35 years ago.
1986, yeah.
It's just absolutely great. Boy in the Bubble, there's a lyric in this, Boy in the Bubble with a baboon heart. It's just a brilliant song, but you could say that about 50 to 80 of the songs that Paul Simon has done. He's obviously a genius.
Don't wait too long to get to Chuck. Child Protective Services might come, since he had his fifth grader up till like 1 o'clock last night watching the game.
Chuck Todd joins us. Had a winning week. 4-3.
Get that
18
kid a Dodgers hat, Chuck. Do him a favor.
So we just lost out on dinner on Monday night. We have no dinner.
We did.
Yes.
We did, literally. I blame Charlie. He literally sent a text and goes, okay, it's all set. And I went, great. There's another way we're going
to
lose.
We have no dinner. And it was my chance to tell Wolf Blitzer the shot I took at him at this function that I went to. And now he's not going to be there because there's no dinner. Go ahead.
There's a lot of rants, and you guys have probably done everything. But let me just make a stadium rant.
Yeah.
The Nationals, don't be afraid to play replays. I mean, we are sitting there like idiots. We're the one sitting there trying to, like, you know, give them energy and all this stuff. You don't give us any information. It's the only sport. Give me, like, oh, that was catcher's interference. We're all, like, playing phone. Was that catcher's interference? Why'd they send him down the first place? It is one of the more annoying things sometimes about baseball in general. And the Nats are really bad about never playing replays.
This is Wilbon was on earlier, and Wilbon said if you went to the game, you cannot appreciate how bizarre it was because you have no information about it. You don't know what happened.
A buddy of mine who's a big Dodger fan, and we actually were setting up our travel schedule for the big Dodgers Nat. He was coming to town this week. And he said, when you go home, your anger at Matt Wieters is going to be on a level that you will learn. Like, that ultimately, you could probably blame it. He blames it all on Matt Wieters. He said, that guy, he said, and while the catcher's interference is questionable, he buys it that it was. He said, Wieters owes us at least two runs.
I was.
We owe him $11 million in another year.
On a player's option.
Well, there you go.
Everybody has some memory of when they began to hate that game. Mine was the moment Gio Gonzalez got to the mound. 67 pitches in 3 innings. It just, you know, he had a big lead, and it evaporated immediately. It was no good. It was no good. And we lost out on dinner with Charlie. I lost out having my attorney, Jared Levine, come into town for a few days, go to the games. I lost out on all of that. And Chatter, by the way, going to take
a
hit.
So. Here's the other thing. Where are you guys on Worth? Are you still dumping on him or not? Are we dumping on Worth?
Pretty much.
Well, I know he had two hits and two walks, but, you know, he let in a run.
I mean, he did what he does.
He's not a good fielder.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think, by the way, that was a bad play. But I'm actually more upset. There was another ball that I thought he should have been able to get to. It was the one, or at least back up. He blew the – when Taylor went for the dive,
yes,
he should have been faster. That was one. That was a problem. And the other was, there was one. Remember when he sort of geeked out, I think, Contreras from going from second to third, but he didn't make an effort. I think I think Howie Gendrick gets to that ball and at least has a shot at catching that ball.
None of us sitting here really truly understands why Howie Kendrick didn't play in the series at all. I mean, we don't really get that. Anyway.
He made the roster, right? He was actually on the roster.
He was on the roster, yeah, as was Adam Lind, as was Defoe.
I don't know. By the way, and I don't know if we're going to be beating up Dusty here, but no. I didn't like it that Lobatone, we were stuck. I was picturing pinch hitting for Lobatone, and then you realize we don't have another catcher.
That's right.
And we were sort of stuck with him when that could have been the Howie Kendrick spot. If Lobatone comes up in the ninth, then we might see Kendrick.
And then who was going to catch after that? Maybe Dusty.
Yeah.
Maybe Dusty if it's tied at some point. Are you ready to pick?
I think the goal. Yes, I'm ready to pick.
All right, because you're hot after a terrible first week.
Hand. I feel it.
4-3 last week, 18-17 overall. The first game, an enormous number, a divisional game. New England on the road at the Jets. Jets with a surprising 3-2 record. Enormous number, 9.5. Last week, New England favored last Thursday by 5.5 at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay covers. Who do you like in this game?
I actually thought New England was going to lose that game. And by the way, they should have.
Yeah.
I still think, like, Jameis, that was more Tampa lost. I'm going with the Jets with the I can't believe I'm saying this.
I wouldn't do this.
New England can't cover any number.
But they got 10 days. It's a 10 days. That's why I wouldn't do it. I'm just telling you.
It's a big number.
Is that your final answer?
I know. You're trying to give me a lifeline here, and yeah. I kind of feel like, no, I'm not. I'm going to regret this, but I'm going to stick to my guns. I say the Jets cover this.
Okay.
9.5. I can't. Too big.
Another divisional game. Green Bay, which had a great late win last week in Dallas. I was in Dallas? Right,
Correct.
In Dallas. Green Bay on the road a second week in a row. At Minnesota, God only knows who the quarterback for Minnesota will be. Green Bay giving 3.
You're 3, not 3.5, huh?
I got 3.
I'll take it. If it's 3, I'll take the Packers. 3. The hook was bothering me.
No, I got Nigel saying 3.
Yeah.
No. Then I'll go Green Bay. I shouldn't. But I just don't know who Minnesota puts a quarterback.
That's right.
You know, so we'll go there.
All right. Detroit at New Orleans. Detroit +5.5. Did something happen to Detroit that I'm unaware of that they're getting 5.5 against a team without a very good defense? No. I know people they used to say it was tough to win in New Orleans, but in the last few years it has not been tough to win in New Orleans. That seems to me that you would take Detroit, which scares me because I can't believe the number.
Saints off a bye, and Stafford, I think, was a little hobbled. I mean, definitely playing, but I think there's some questions.
What do you think, Chuck?
Well, and Gary will love this. I feel like you like these stats, Gary. After a bye, the Saints are 8-1.
Oh.
Against
that's a Sean Payton thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going with that trend line, even though I think we know Detroit's the better team. But give me New Orleans in a high-scoring game.
Okay, Pittsburgh, which seems to be in disarray, and Ben Roethlisberger, the best part about Ben Roethlisberger is when he says, I didn't doubt myself, and you went, no, you said it, you. Ben Roethlisberger does this all the time. Like last year he said, I never said I was going to retire, and you go, no, you did. You said it. No one even asked you. You. They're at Kansas City. Kansas City's good. Maybe it's a letdown time. They're getting 4.5. Pittsburgh doesn't usually get that many.
It's a lot of points, but something tells me we are a week away from Ben Roethlisberger is the problem in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not in disarray. Ben Roethlisberger's in disarray.
So you're going to go KC.
I'm going that because you need a good story to talk about on Monday on PTI. It feels like that will be its own separate banner.
And Wilbon will defend.
What's wrong with Big Ben?
Wilbon loves Roethlisberger and will defend him no matter what happens. Here is a game that
Good luck doing that when women are in the room.
That's right.
Yeah.
Point well taken. This is a game that is in flux to some degree. Los Angeles Chargers at Oakland. There is some talk that the game might be moved. The Chargers are getting 3 at Oakland. I think Derek Carr is supposed to come back for this game. The Chargers finally won. Chargers are, you know, hopping across the country. They won in Giants Stadium. They get 3. Who do you like?
I'm just taking the points here because the best stat on this game is the underdog is 14-2 in the last 16 meetings between these two teams. So
is that right?
I'll take that trend line in a game that I don't feel good about either way.
Okay, the New York Giants, who are now 0-5, their coach appears to be on the verge of buffoonery. And if you're going to have this worry about Ben Roethlisberger being the problem, if the Giants lose one more time, you will hear that about Eli Manning in New York. He has nobody to throw to. He lost his two best receivers for the whole season. They're at Denver, where it's tough to win, but they are getting an unbelievable number. They're getting 12.
I wonder when the last time a Manning got a dozen points in the game, if it's ever
so much. Yeah. Chuck?
I want to know the last time the premier game of the week, be it Sunday night now, and it used to be Monday night before, featured a double digit. Was this far apart? It's supposed to be the best, one of the three or four best games on the schedule. I want to speak as a representative of NBC. This is a horrendous Sunday night matchup. Thank goodness there's playoff baseball. Hopefully, this is the week to counter program against us as a network, unfortunately. Give me the Broncos in a rout, and I say, not only that, if it is a rout and they cover the spread, there's a coaching that our friend McAdoo doesn't survive the week.
With what's going on with Rogers Cromartie, with what's going on with the Giants, with the fact that when you see him, he looks like a lieutenant, not a general.
Looking at their schedule, go ahead, Chuck.
You have to feed the New York tabloid beast. Too. Yeah, I think feeding him his head will calm the water.
So anyway, they're at Denver,
right?
Then they are home versus Seattle. Then they have the bye week. So it's
you can do that.
You can
do that. All right,
wait till the bye week to fire him.
Yeah,
no.
What's he going to do? He's going to change your mind if they beat Seattle?
You get a coach in there early because the bye week gives the coach a little bit more time, a game and a bye. He gets to evaluate personnel.
I miss Bob McAdoo back in those Buffalo Brave days.
Right.
He was really good.
I think this is his son. This is Bob's son, Dan, we think. San Francisco, a terrible team. Coming all the way across the country for a 1 o'clock game, which is 10 o'clock in their body clocks against Washington, they get 10. What do you got?
I am out of solidarity. Nobody is better than a Washington team in the regular season. Since it's not a playoff game and it doesn't mean a thing,
right?
Give me the skins and the points.
You're going to take that. Are there?
Yeah, this is supposed to solve our wounds, right? By the way, is the town now enough of a Nats town that a Redskins regular season victory doesn't make people in a better mood come Monday?
No, I think it will. I think they're looking for a victory to feel better about themselves. Because this is, I don't know.
If it were a victory over Dallas, maybe, but not a victory over San Francisco. It's not going to take away the hurt.
I mean, I see the pain in myself. I mean, I'm finding myself feeling more pain for the Nats this morning than I thought I would, just seeing the anguish on his face.
Do you see this?
We ask
everybody this. The Capitals choke. Do you see this as a choke? And this is 4 and 6 years. Is this a choke to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How many different ways did we? They batted this was the best, arguably the best lineup in baseball all year long.
Yes.
And they what? Mm-hmm. They left 13 men on base.
Yeah.
13 men on base. I want to blame the umpire, who, by the way, is still deciding if balls are strikes or not. It took him an hour for each pitch. I want to blame a lot of people, but they left 13 men on base.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Zimmerman left half of them, right?
Yeah.
Everybody contributed to the futility. Bryce Harper strikes out at the end of the game. Zimmerman leaves guys on base. Trey Turner seemed to whiff when it mattered the most. I mean, Jason, you know what I mean? You can't even, there's not one goat.
No. I think it'll cost Dusty his job. I do. I don't know what you think, but I think it will.
Who do you replace him with, though?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I get that.
Bobby Valentine.
What did Dusty do that somehow would have changed this series?
I don't know, but I think when you look at
last night alone, ten
straight, you know, clinching game defeats. I mean, that's you know, if you want to fire him, you have cover to do it.
Look, I think there are previous years following Dusty where you could say he got outmanaged. The fact of the matter is, Madden managed himself into a corner. He had his closer out there on fumes.
Yeah.
If the Nats score one run, they win that game because literally Joe Madden was the only pitcher left in the bullpen.
That was Wilbon's whole point.
I would have expected Dusty to do. Madden now has mismanaged his bullpen twice and gotten away with it.
All right. Okay.
The genius.
You want to plug your television show? Do you want to plug anything?
Yes, please. Please still watch Meet the Press on Sunday.
Okay. We'll do that. Thank you, Chuck.
Goodbye.
Chuck Todd, boys and girls. I missed dinner. We're not going to have dinner on Monday. Charlie Starnia was going to come in.
Yeah,
go to the Palm. Shame. You know, we're going
to
have dinner.
Well, you could still go to the Palm with Chuck again.
You can have dinner at Chatter.
It's easier for Chuck because it's closer to.
You know, you should think about changing Chatter to maybe a Dodgers bar. It's just for the week. Then you can always switch it back.
Yeah, no one will go. Just get a flag. Does anybody have a big flag out there? If somebody's still playing, we'll just put the flag up. And then next year, we'll put the Nats flag up. If we just gave you that, that'd be enough. But.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo. Reginald's got the bites by two. Sometimes he throws poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
What do you got?
Yeah, so I went down to the zoo, as I like to do, went to the National Zoo, and Reginald was there in his little Indochino suit. And was in the conference room. Yeah, you know, I forgot to open up the sound for that. Yeah, thanks. Thanks,
there
Gary.
He is. He's back in his little enclosure there, I guess, where they feed him the live crickets.
Hold on, here he is. So he was in the conference room portion of his cage. It's a very large cage. And in that conference room were the learners and Mike Rizzo.
Now,
you read into that what you will. I also saw Dave Dombrowski linger around in the lobby area. So he's obviously a very sought-after monkey to coach. But he took some time from these meetings to go over the games with me. And the first game we gave him was New England, giving 9.5 at the Jets. And he showed me some old video or film of him at a reenactment of the Battle of Bunker Hill. He was playing a British general, William Howe, which obviously made me happy because he's on my team.
Yep.
And Rick Burleson was in this as well, and Steve Grogan. So obviously he's got very strong ties to New England.
I know it's a lot of points, but they've had 10 days, and these are the Jets.
These are the Jets. Yes.
Go ahead.
So the next game we had was Oakland, at Oakland, giving 3 against the Chargers, what we think it's going to be at Oakland. And again, this was in a very old photograph of him on the sidelines at Oakland Alameda Coliseum and his little silver and black tracksuit with Al Davis, John Madden, and Kenny Stabler.
Just win, baby.
Yeah, just win. Yeah. So he's obviously goes long ties to the Raiders.
He really skews old.
He does. Yeah. I'm not sure how old he is because he's still very youthful when I see him.
Yeah.
And the last game we gave him was obviously the Redskins and the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners getting 10 at Washington. And this was...
San Francisco's terrible.
They're terrible. Yes.
Terrible.
Now, you might be surprised at
but
this.
But Kyle Shanahan has a chip on his shoulder.
First of all, they're not going to be terrible next year when Kirk Cousins is
quarterback.
Right. That's right.
And they're not that terrible because though they are 0-5, like everyone else in the league, not everyone's 0-5, but what I'm about to say applies to many people, the last four games they've lost on the last possession, two of them on the very last play in overtime. So they are a couple bounces away.
And Shanahan knows this offense.
Oh, you don't think he wants this one, Shanahan?
I'm sure he does, but you didn't think Sean McVay wanted it too?
No, I don't think he did, really. I don't think it was that important to him.
Okay.
Not McVay.
Anyways, I saw some old NFL film clips of him. This is a practice session with the old 49ers coaching up Dwight Clark and Joe Montana on that corner route.
So he's going to take San Francisco?
Yes, he's going to
take the Niners. The 10.
And apparently he was responsible for the catch, if you want to read out into that. Okay. So there you go.
Fabulous. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have emails and jingles and stuff like that.
That's right.
All right, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's a long day driving through the district, 'cause the beltway is slow as a slug. Open kind bars are waiting at the office, and some golf balls and maybe a mug.
You're right,
Gary should not have gone on. Freeloading. Yeah, you're free. Freeloading.
This is from Q Lou, still in Atlanta. He said he did this 4 years ago to the day. You probably received better Tom Petty tributes, but if not, here's mine. That was excellent.
Nice.
We didn't receive anything better.
We love
you
that.
Wanted to thank some people?
Yes, I ran into a bunch of littles here after the show yesterday. They came by, lovely people, all from Vermont, all from Burlington, Vermont. So we are huge, not just in Hagerstown, but also in Burlington, Vermont.
Well, I've been there.
This weekend in Burlington, it'll probably be 14 degrees.
The coldest I've ever been
Burlington,
was
Vermont.
In Burlington, yes. Vermont, yes. The lake.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thank you to Washington Post columnist Barry Sverluga, to Michael Wilbon,
yes.
Meet the Press host Chuck Todd for coming on the show today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Harry's Razors and Bombfell. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. So we have this from Brett Coluccio, who says, gang, I'm headed down to Pinehurst for a pro-am in about a week. He's a pro. And recall, there's a gentleman, Pinehurst, you have referred to in the past that works in the administration of the resort. I'd very much like to meet him and say hello. Would you mind either giving me his name or passing his email along to him? I know this is a Biggs helping Littles type situation, but I'm hoping for some benevolence. Yeah, sure. Alex Podlogar. I mean, go to Alex Podlogar. P.S. The club I work for is owned by the gentleman who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. So every time you crush either the Jaguars or Jacksonville in general, I'm not sure whether to laugh or cringe. Thank you for your time. From Tim and Joe from Topeka, Kansas, drawing inspiration from our love of your podcast, my buddy Joe and I recently started a weekly podcast for our fantasy football league. It's brought us great personal joy. We've already reached 100% of our target audience, all 10 people in the league, including the two of us. We know you're familiar with some of Joe's previous work, but to refresh your memory, we've attached a picture of him at the recent Monday Night Chiefs game, and that was La Cheeserie Eat It Solicitor.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Brilliant.
As loyal littles, we're requesting a quip from you, such as, and here we go, hi, I'm Dr. Tony Kornheiser, and you're listening to Totally Defeated. Eat it! We know appealing to your good graces won't be enough, so on our first pilgrimage to your fine establishment, we promise to bring an offering of gifts for Chatter and Bootsy. What do you say? Well, I just said what I said. I did it for you.
Yeah, yeah.
P.S. Does Michael honestly intend to hang up in Chatter the picture from Twitter of Joe and his sign? That would really help Joe's self-esteem.
Yes, I'm working on making it into a poster.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
From Josh Kuehnel, maybe, or Kuehnel, I don't know, K-U-E-H-N-L. I don't know how to pronounce that, in Jackson, Wisconsin.
Smith.
I was only able to catch the first part of the Maury Povich conversation the other day, so I missed the big reveal at the end. Don't leave us hanging any longer. Is Michael the father of Bootsy or not? Indeed. From Chris Wigg in Spanaway, Washington, Mr. Dr. Grandpa Tony. Hardest thing to do in the galaxy, hit a baseball. Second hardest thing to do, catch a baseball. I heard he lost it in the lights of the Milky Way. Oh, Michael, it rained all
that's
day.
Cold.
Too soon.
Mark Shepard, Rockville, Maryland. I'm totally on your side with regard to Lexus Assist. When I bought my Lexus, I was not informed there was Lexus Assist and an emergency service. Unlike you, I know how to use Google Maps, so I declined the Assist service. A couple of years later, my car was stolen. I called Lexus, asked them to find my car. They said, I'm not a subscriber. I said, I'll pay the fee right now, just find my car. They said, no.
Ooh.
Ooh. Fortunately, the car turned up before I went through more aggravation. From Zeke in Livermore, Colorado, Barry Sverluga wrote, quote, but get through the gate at the ballpark and dread is so readily available. The concessionaires slip it between the hot dog and the bun, mix it into the carbonated beverages, slide it into the programs. By now, babies here are born with it, ingrained. Is that a shout out to Bootsy? That's a very good sentence.
Such a good piece.
Yeah.
Joe Farrell in Olney, Maryland. Now we can stop complaining about what time Metro closes and go back to complaining about the fires. From Paul Kaczynski in South Salem, New York. So this morning when my son, a huge baseball and Mr. Tony fan, woke up and I updated him on the Nats, this response, again, they're horrible. Come on, man. All I could do is laugh because my only thought was my work here is done. From Mike and John, who are presently in Chatter, reveal yourselves. In light of the Nats' loss, are you sure today is the day you want to be giving away razors to Chatter folks? From Britton Milner in Toms River, New Jersey. Am I on the air? First time, long time. How you doing today? Don't you hang up on me yet.
Bad.
I felt Ovi, I mean Harper, striking out to end the Caps, I mean Nats season, was very appropriate. T. Sabonis in Leeds, Iowa. Scherzer in relief in the fifth. retires Brizzo immediately, both of them. Infield single by the catcher, blooper to left, sharp double down the line, intentional walk, basic strikeout, runner scores from second, catcher's interference, hit batter. Odds of that happening in one inning, $2.2 billion, and Wilbon not surprised. Not surprised. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, do wear white, and thanks for coming.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, man.
every time I push, girl, you pull. We can go down to the tavern on a Saturday night and listen to the band play and pretend like we're all right. But who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? This time you're here to stay. I swear that last time was the last time. And I know you got some of them city boys just waiting in line. Take it anymore, it's hanging from a string. So go on and call one of them boys up. They're waiting in the wings. Who you fooling? Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? Yeah, I'm going out to Frisco just like you always wanted. I'm sure you can find some hipster boy there. I think I'm gonna have to go on and cut you loose. But at this point, I really don't.